Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Once again, I appreciate the worship that is coming out of this building. It's something about worship. I'm telling you, if you are a worshiper, I believe you can get anything from God you want. It's because the worship is what he looks at and he listens to and he understands when we really are worshiping him. And because what happens is he becomes the focal point. He's the central. He's everything. We tune out everybody around us, and our worship goes directly to him. So I appreciate you, Lady Haynes, and the worship team for, again, giving us an opportunity to come into your worship space today. As you would, turn your Bibles to Luke 6, 27 through 28, and also verse 31 through 38. And if you're here today and you don't happen to have a Bible, if you would look up on the screen, those scriptures will flash up there. And everybody that has it, would you please just rest on your feet as we go to the Lord in reading these scriptures. If you would allow me to read them aloud in your hearing. Luke 6, 27, verse 28, and again, verses 31 through 38. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom we hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies. Everybody say, love them.
Love them.
And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind, and listen to this, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Verse 38, give, and it shall be given you, unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaking together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye might withal, it shall be measured to you again. Eternal God, thank you for the gathering. Thank you for those that have pressed their way into, Lord, this place today to hear a word from you. For, Lord, we need a word from you. For if we don't hear from you, we really don't know what to do, Lord, in the turmoil that we're facing. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, today, God, help us not just to be a hearer, but to be a doer of your word. And most of all, God, let me, your servant, be found decreasing as we watch you increase in this place. And Lord, whether it be Facebook or Lord YouTube or Spotify, Let the same anointing reach them where they are, convicting, convincing, and converting them to, Lord, be saved. And when everything is said and done, Lord, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And let everyone say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Before you're seated, please let me invite your attention back to the 38th verse of Luke 6. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaking together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye might withal, it shall be measured to you again. In the remaining time that I have, I want to minister to you from this thought. God wants to give you something. Somebody say, He does. But it will cost you something. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Now, are you still willing? God bless you. You may be seated. God wants to give you something, but it will cost you something. Now, as we have given you that thought, no doubt after hearing the thought, God wants to give you something, but it will cost you something, you're probably wondering, now, what in the world could I possibly have to give in order for God to give me that something he is waiting to give me? Well, let me just let you ponder on that a while. As we look back at our text, and along with some other scriptural accounts that speak to our very thought. In Psalms 37, 4 and 5, it says, well, before we go there, that's a supporting scripture. Let me go back to the original text and let's start from there. And then I'll give you some other scriptures that will support what we're talking about this morning. If we go back in Luke 27, 1 through 8, verses 31 through 38, it says, but I say unto you which hear, this is key because everybody that comes to a service, they aren't hearing. They aren't attentive. They aren't allowing the Spirit of God to speak to them. So he says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Somebody say, that's hard. Oh, yes, it is so difficult when you know somebody don't care about you at all. And they literally don't mind scandalizing your name, knowing there's nothing of validity of what they're saying. And he says to us, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that despitefully use you. They don't just use you, but they despitefully use you. And he says, as you would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them. Can we just please stop right there? If we could live by that scripture, we would make heaven our home. Listen to what he says. As ye would that men should do unto you. Most of us want people to be kind to us, forgiving to us, thoughtful. Come on, work with me now. And if that's how you want somebody to entreat you, then guess what, bruh? Guess what, sis? That's what you have to do. See, God is not going to judge them for how they treat you, but he's going to judge you for how you treat them. So you've got to get this in your spirit. As ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. But let me put it this way. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but do it first. You must be the first partaker of what you're asking somebody to do. For if ye love them which love you, what thank? When we look at that word thank, it means what credit? What credit have you? For sinners also love those that love them. You know, we got a whole bunch of sinners. They love each other. Yes, they do. And don't mind showing it. Boy, I tell you what, you run into some of them people in the street, man, you'd be 5 minutes dapping them up. But they do. They love each other. And if you do good to them, which do good to you, what credit, if you please, have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Hello? We as the body of Christ can take a page out of what they do in that regard. Because sometimes we act as though we don't love one another. We don't care for one another. Verse 34 says, and if ye lend to them of whom we have hope to receive, what credit or what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend. Hoping nothing in return, that you would get anything back. Now, how many of you like that? We don't like that because we expect, hey, if I give you something, you need to give it back. But now we're talking about your enemies. Give it to them and don't expect one red cent back. But if you do that, listen to what it says. And your reward shall be great. Anybody want a great reward? And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind. Oh, please get this in your spirit. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Now that's something to digest. To do all of that to somebody that don't even thank you. You know, a good example, a lot of times we go after church and we go somewhere and eat and fellowship. And I start noticing these days when people get their meal, they used to drop a napkin and act like was praying. They didn't want people to see. But now they don't even do that. They bring the food and they just dive in. Unthankful, ungodly. But he says, even though I know they're not thankful for the meal that I put before them, I'm still blessing them to get it. He said, because we have to be kind unto the unthankful, and watch this, unto the evil. To the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. See, we are to emulate. We are to mirror our Father's spirit. We can't be saying we love folk and treat them lower than an animal. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not. Everybody say judge not. Judge. Ooh, this is hard. This is a hard saying today. Judge not, why? And ye shall not be judged. That should be the motivation for you to want to keep your mouth off situations. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Hello? You don't want people condemning you, so don't you condemn somebody else. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Easy. But we make that so difficult. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. I'm taking this to my grave. Probably taking it somewhere else beyond the grave. But he says that we should be willing to forgive. And then why? Because you will be forgiven. Let me go real quickly because this forgiving thing, I'm just trying to help somebody today because unforgiveness is going to cause you to burn, baby, burn. Oh, yes, it will. In Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 22 down to verse 26, but I just want to read the latter of two verses, 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Everybody say forgive. And ye Listen. If he's telling us to forgive, it's a reason. Because he wants to give you that same forgiveness that you've extended to others. But listen, let me go back here a minute. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you forgive not, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That is why it's so detrimental that we get this in our spirit. Once again, that latter part says in verse 37, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye might, that you extend to people, it shall be measured to you again. Now, please allow me to read to you from the Amplified Version in Luke 6, verses 36 through 38. But love, everybody say, but love. This is unselfishly seek the best or higher good for your enemies. In other words, you don't want no harm to come to them. You want the best for them. I know somebody's stewing in their stew right now. How can I want the best for them after they did all what they've done to me? Well, this is what the scripture says in the Amplified. For your enemies, we should do that. We should look out for the greater good for your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. For your reward will be great. Somebody say great. Rich, abundant, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he himself is kind and gracious and good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful. What does that mean? Be responsive, compassionate, tender, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Verse 37, do not judge. Everybody say, don't judge. Don't judge others self-righteously. You know how we can be sometimes. We get that self-righteous attitude and like, man, I don't know how they did that. I would never do that. Don't you ever say what you won't do. Okay? With the Lord's help, you hope that you wouldn't do it. So don't judge others with that self-righteous attitude. And you will not be judged. Do not condemn others when you are guilty and unrepented. And you will not be condemned for your hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can be very hypocritical. Pardon others when they truly repent and change. You will be pardoned when you truly repent and change. Isn't it amazing? When we fall down, the songwriter said, we get up. But there are times when we fall down and we're trying to get up. But it's hard to get up when a man has his foot pressed on your head. We got to get to the place that we understand that when a person truly repents, there will be fruits of repentance. Talk back to me this morning. And you can see it. The Bible says by their fruit you shall know them. So if they've fallen and they're trying to get up and they have changed, then please, sir, ma'am, let them live. Forgive them because they repented. And when you truly repent, guess what? You'll be forgiven. Verse 38 says, give and it shall be given you. And listen to this. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. I know it's kind of hard for some of us to remember, But they used to have what they call fountain drinks. You used to go. Oh, man, y'all looking at me with that funny kind of tone. But anyway, you would have them make up that fountain drink. And sometimes they'd make it and it's so full that it's overflowing. Anybody remember that? Man, what you talking about wiping it out? You want to just take the straw. Because it's something about having an overflow. You want to experience everything in it. So listen to what it says. They will pour into your lap good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with no space left for more. For with the standard of measurement you use when you do good to others, it will be measured to you in return. Let's give some supporting scriptures to what we're talking about this morning. God wants to give you something, but it will cost you something. In Psalms 37, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." Please, sir, ma'am, stop right there. Are you delighting yourself in the Lord? Only one person can answer that question. Point up here to me. Point up here to me. Now take that same thing and point it back to you. You're the only one that can answer the question. Are you delighting yourself in the Lord? Because if you are, then it said, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. What's the desire of your heart today? What do you want God to do for you in this moment of time? So the question might need to be looked at. Am I really delighting myself in the Lord? Or is it things and people? Then he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Not to man, not to an organization, but commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Anybody expecting God to bring some things that you've been praying for to pass? I thought I'd see every hand up on that one. Because there's some situations that's going on right now that you need God's divine intervention. But you've got to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You've got to commit your way unto him, trust in him also, and he shall, not maybe, if, might, but he shall bring it to pass. Anybody want to give God a hand clap right there? There are other accounts in the Bible, but let me just stop here, because in Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 17 through 22, we have this account of what we call the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler had heard about Jesus and he had seen him, and he runs to him and he falls down on his knees and he says, "Good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Well, why are you calling me good? There's only one good is. It's God." And he says, "Well, you know the scripture." And that's the thing. You know the scriptures. But are you living them? It's one thing to quote a scripture. It's another thing to walk it out. See, people are tired of hearing about the scripture. They want to see what it looks like lived out. So this rich young ruler is told by Jesus, "Well, you know what the scripture says." And listen to the response. And I probably need to go back there a minute so I can just read to you, because it is amazing how we know the scripture, but we don't live the scripture. And he said to him, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor thy father and mother." You know what the young man's reply was to that? "Man, I got it made in the shade, modern day vernacular. Man, I've been doing all of that ever since I was knee high to a grasshopper. I've done that from my youth up." You do know Jesus could have cut him off at the first one. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt have no other God before thee."
See, we have a propensity of making little G-O-Ds in our life, propping them up like they're somebody or something.
But Jesus didn't do that. He let them go through the whole nine yards. And after he did that, it's amazing. You would think that the young man would have some humility about himself, but he didn't. So this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, beholding him, that means looking on him. The scripture says he loved him. I wish I could get somebody to really see how much you're loved by God. In your present circumstances, in your present situation, where you don't give him thanks, where you don't praise him, where you don't serve him like you ought to. He said he looked at the young man, knew the condition of his life, knew his background, and the Bible said he loved him. My, my, my. And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest. It's a good place to stop. Ask yourself, what's that one thing that I lack? What's the one thing that stops me from growing in grace, getting close to God, having that intimate relationship where I hear him speaking to my heart? He said, one thing thou lackest. The young man probably said, yeah, I did everything the Bible said. I did all the scripture. What's the one thing I could be lacking? He says, sell whatsoever thou hast. Sell it all and give it to the poor. I can imagine now that rich young ruler looking at himself like, man, I don't work hard for this. He said, but give it to the poor and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Verse 22 says, and he was sad. That tells the whole story. That's the bottom line. And he was sad and went away grieved. Somebody say, why? I'm glad you asked. Because he had great possessions. Now, please, sir, ma'am, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, hear me and hear me clearly. God does not mind what you drive. God does not mind what you live in. He doesn't mind what kind of job you have. He don't mind that you got six figures bank accounts. But what he does mind is that those things begin to drive you. And all you can think about is money, 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 money. All you think about is, how can I get some more moolah in my pocket? How can I stack it up? He had great possessions. Again, God doesn't mind you having things, but don't let those things have you. Don't let those things drive you to the point where you forget who blessed you. Who woke you up this morning? Who started you on your... What's his name? Jesus. Who saved your soul? Jesus. Who made you whole? Jesus. We got to remember that it's him that we live and move and have our very being. Without him, we could do absolutely nothing. Listen, in your occupation, you're probably the top. But what happens if your health goes? You're skilled. You're a skilled worker. You're a master extraordinaire. But what happens if you start forgetting? You see, there's so many different things that could change the trajectory of how you live. So we've got to understand God wants to give you something, but it will cost you something. This young man wasn't willing to give up what was going to cost him, which was his riches. That's just one of the many other accounts in the Bible. Remember in Luke 5 and 10 in part, and I'm closing. Luke 10:5 in part. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they have brought their ships to land, they forsook all. Somebody says all.
All,
all means all, and that's
all.
Uh-huh. So they took their ships, tied them up for the last time, washed their nets, and they kept it moving. The Bible said, and they forsook all and followed him. You remember the account, what happened prior to? Peter had let Jesus go out on his boat, and Jesus is now teaching. And afterwards, Jesus said, well, you know what? Since you will let me use your boat, go cast out a little bit further. And he told him, cast your net. He told him what side to cast his nets on. And they caught a great drought of fish, so much so that the boat started sinking. Man, they finally got that haul of fish in. And Peter, he was like, man, I can't believe it. And on the heels of that, they said, you know what? We'd rather follow Jesus. We'd rather be fishers of men than make this money. In my closing, I want to leave you with one scripture. And as we turn there, that will be found in Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let me say that again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Please let that marinate for a moment. Let it saturate your spirit, man. All of these years you've been churching, because that's what you've been doing. You've given, you've tithed, helped in projects. And at the end of it, this is what he said. I never knew you. My aunt Shirley, she used to have this saying when we were coming up. Now, ain't that a kick in the head? After all of the things you've done, he said, I never knew you. That means I never acknowledged it. I never knew you. But this is the kicker. Then he's going to say, depart from me. Maybe it would have been a little bit more tolerable or palatable if he just said, like, okay, depart from me. But the rest of it, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Woo! Why would he say that? Because he that is not willing to leave father, mother, son, daughter, he that is not willing to forsake all and follow me, pick up their cross and follow me, they're not worthy to be in the kingdom with me. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I hope that somebody today got something out of this, because God really does have something for you, but it will cost you something. See, that's where you have to determine, what is that something that is going to cost me? Is it my relationship? Is it where I go and what I do and who I'm with? It's something that maybe you don't even realize. It may be minute, but if it's going to stop you from getting to heaven, would you not want to get it right now? Can I get you all to stand? This may have not been the running around, swinging from the chandelier type of message, but it's ministering to me. Because I realized, just like you, there are yet things that God desires of me. All of us, if we just be honest with ourselves, we are building under construction. I got me some contractors here. They know what it is. When you're doing renovations, there's some things that just got to go. You can't leave it there. If you leave it there, it's going to mess up all what you've done. You've got to get rid of it. And God is wanting right now for us to give it to him. Bring it to the altar. With every head bowed and all eyes closed. Eternal God, it is always a privilege and an honor to be behind this sacred desk and knowing that the very words that I'm saying are coming right back at me. I can't do any pointing because, Lord, I've got four coming back at me. So, Lord, I'm asking you right now, God, help us to, Lord, digest the word for today. Help us, Lord Jesus, to eat the whole roll and not let any of it go to waste. Lord, there are people here in person that have an opportunity to walk out of those rows down the altar, down to the altar, and have a conversation with you. Are you here today? Anybody wanting just to be honest with God and say, Lord, I understand it's going to cost me, but I'm willing to pay the cost in order to receive what you have for me. See, right now, maybe there's some that have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Did you ever wonder why? You're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you to finally give it up. What is it that you're holding on to? He says, give it to me. YouTube, Facebook, I'm trying to look at you. I can't look beyond the lens of that camera, but I know you're there. And I know right now God is dealing with your heart. Would you open up and say, Lord, here I am, just as I am. I want what you have to give me, and I'm ready to pay the cost. As these are being anointed with oil, we are believing and trusting God that out of the sheer obedience of what the scripture said, is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. As these have been anointed with oil, we want to pray with them. We want you, right where you are in your seats. If you don't feel led to come up, no problem. He makes house calls. He'll meet you right where you are in your seat. But for these that are here, we want to pray with them right now.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise.